afternoon, everyone. Let's see. Can we open our Bibles to Judges chapter 13, please? All right. And we'll start in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat none that any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Now, the word Nazarite, we see that in Numbers in chapter 6, I believe. It means it's someone that God picks to be a servant unto him. A Nazarite's life is to be completely for God, for what he exactly would send them for. And they couldn't touch the dead, they could not drink wine or any strong drink, and they could not cut their hair. So it was made obvious, if you'd see a Nazarite walking on the street, you could obviously tell that it was a Nazarite because their hair would be so long. And it was meant so that they would be able to be seen. Now, time-wise, in chapter 14, I'm just going to summarize through that. But we see Samson, he desires a wife, and she's a Philistine background. And during this time, Samson fights a lion. And God gives him the strength so that he could fight the lion with his bare hands. And the thing is that, let's see, inside of the carcass, whenever he comes back later, he finds honey inside of it. And he gets a riddle, which later at the marriage feast, we see that the children of the Philistines, they were at first trying to think him as more small-minded, of course, but he said he will do a wager for 30 sheets and change of garments if anyone could figure out his riddle in 7 days. And of course, they had no idea what his riddle was. So on the seventh day, the children of the Philistines came to his soon-to-be wife, and they told her to entice him so that they would know what the riddle is and so that they would be able to win this little wager he had. So his soon-to-be wife would start weeping at him and tell him how he doesn't love him because he wouldn't tell her what the riddle was. And as this kept going on, she finally got into Samson, and Samson told her. And when this happened, whenever she also told the children of the Philistines whenever the seventh day came, and they told him the riddle, Samson knew that she told them. So now Samson would have to get these 30 garments. And of course he was angered because he knew that his soon-to-be wife did this. So what he did, he went out and he slayed 30 Philistines and brought back the garments. Now, let's read Judges 15 real quick, verse 1. But it came to pass, within a while after, In the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go unto my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her youngest sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands of fire, he let them go into the corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks, and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Now, we see that Samson has denied his wife. So we start off with. And this makes him angry, and so he catches 300 foxes and he lights the tails on fire, and he just let them go through the cornfields and all that. And this obviously would anger the Philistines. Which, as this happens, knowing after this that the Philistines would not just want to capture Samson, but also they are filled with anger and see that he still cared for his would-have-been wife. So they burned her and her father. And this would push Samson to the edge himself too. And if we will read in verse 11, we'll see what happens next after this. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are the rulers over us? What is that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me, that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off of his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With a jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made it at the end of us of speaking, that he had cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. As we see here, not just do we see how powerful God is, that Samson, as he would just put all he has into Samson so that he can kill these 1,000 men. And I just want you to think, he just finds this jawbone and slays 1,000 soldiers of Philistines. That's amazing right there. And after showing how powerful God is, on top of that, whenever he's getting very thirsty, so thirsty that he's almost dying of thirst, he calls to the Lord and the Lord gives them water. I mean, and if you see one of these things, it's like, think about running a race, and then at the very end, where you're all very thirsty, you just call upon God, and next thing you know, you see this rock just spew out with water. That's amazing right there. That's a miracle. That's not something that happens every day. And, I mean, so you'll have some people with, like, deer in the headlights type of eyes, like, what just happened? But that's just a tiny, tiny part of how powerful God is right there. Now, let's go through Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them up upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Now I want you to think this. These gates aren't just like small doors. These things are huge. I mean, especially in Gaza. I mean, they're probably, I'll give you an estimate, about 15 feet tall, and probably 10 feet wide or bigger, and they're heavy. And I want you to imagine, there's this man that everyone hates in the city, and right whenever you think you're about to go up and try to kill him, he just picks up the whole huge gate that it weighs as much, it can just crush a man easily. And that shows right there how powerful God is. God gave Samson all of his strength, and people would ask, where does his strength come from? Not because they were just curious, because He didn't look like as muscular as he did. He just looked like usually a common man. And that's why they were so curious, because you don't see this. You don't just see someone walk away with a huge gate with the whole like outlining of the gate, walk away like it's nothing really. Yeah. And you see today, there's just literally nothing close to today, as you would see when it's coming out of right here, whenever you see Samson specifically. Because the power that God put in this man physically, it's something that usually people would just have such an unbelief in that there's only one thing to say, and that's it's God. He's the only one that can give him that power. Alrighty, and let's carry on real quick. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, that shall I be weak and be as in another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 greens with which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with the new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he break them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath shewed me with all of his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke up out of his sleep, and said, "I will go out as at other times before, and shake him myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. See, today as Christians, we're looked at as the oddballs. We're looked at as different. And the thing is that we try to fit in more to the world. And the world usually tries to grasp us to fit into it. And it could be by what you wear, or what you say, or maybe the people you're trying to fit yourself into. And some of us feel like we have targets on our backs. Like everyone's just out there trying to get to us. And we do see in John chapter 15, verse 9, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So we see that the world doesn't like us. It was never supposed to be. It hates us because it hated Jesus. And the people that want to be like the Son, the world will hate them too. And the thing is, there's a lot of Christians nowadays that are trying to fit into the world. They're trying to, they feel like all this pressure from out of the world is almost like attacking them, that they just want to fit in. And if we stick out to others, because we're the ones that listened to the one that was here before the beginning, we follow a God that they can sense that he is real. They don't want to follow him. So it just, what they try to do to make themselves feel better, the world will try to like seduce us into its grip, so that we will be looked on as not as good, so that other people will be like, "How is he Christian, or how is she Christian, if they can't follow this?" Well, there's things, like, you can just walk, you say, you're walking to Ingles, and you'll see a magazine, or something like that. A Christian, you could say years ago, that's something they would probably get, you know, probably a blush out of, or some people would just completely run the other way. But nowadays, it seems like we can't even get a raised eyebrow at it. We're getting too comfortable. There's no way that anything around us should feel comfortable, honestly. This world, it's not for followers. This world is a place where we are made, we are here to be witness to others that are lost. We cannot just be, you could say, trying to join up with the friends, go to parties, drinking all this. I mean, that's the opposite of what God wants us to stand for, what we should stand for. And the thing, we're going to make mistakes. We can all admit that. We will make mistakes. But we need to stop making the mistakes that feel comfortable. We need to stop making them that feel like, hey, I know my friend does this, so why don't I? Because if we do that, it may take days, weeks, months, maybe even years, sadly, till we realize this was a terrible decision. Why did I do this? And we'll just have no idea. We'll be completely oblivious to it. We'll be in a terrible spot, we'll feel like. And see, here we see Samson, and he gave in. Samson gave in, and he got his strength taken. He was put in a place, a bad place of the Philistines' prison. And the Philistines, they hate anyone of Israel. Well, here, let's keep reading real quick. In 16, verse 21, 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, in the burial place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. We see here how Samson, he was defenseless. He couldn't do anything. He was in a terrible spot that he felt like. And he felt like that he failed God. He failed the only thing that he was sent from God to do. And today we may feel like that. We feel like that we may have failed. But here's the thing. He called to God, and God answered. Even how what he did, even how he felt, how he failed God, God still answered. And that's the amazing thing about our God. Not just did he give him the strength to completely collapse a whole building with his two hands between pillars, he forgave him. And that's the thing. He'll forgive everyone here, no matter how off we go, no matter how far down the road we are. He'll be right behind you, just ready to take you back. You can get pushed down. You can be completely on your back, and God's the hand there for you to pick you back up every time. And as we see in Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God knows we will fail. God knows that. God knows that we will sin. God knows we fall short. He's still there for you, though. And you may be in a terrible position today or have been recently. And if you look back and just ask God to help you, He'll be there. Even if you failed Him, He will still be there for you. And just like, you got to think, also like how I said with the gates, these pillars are not just like an inch around. These are huge pillars to hold up a huge house with 3,000 people. And I'm going to give another estimate, I could say, of a 6-foot diameter plus, honestly. Probably a lot more. I'm not that good at estimating. And he just comes up here, and he asks God to put the power in him one last time so that he put his hands right here and here, and he just pushed those pillars, and the whole house came down with everyone in it. Just, wow. Wow. That God can do that. If God can do that, think what he can do in your life. You could be struggling in tiniest spots. Maybe, let's say, stuff is going bad at work, and you feel like you're about to be fired because you did something that you shouldn't have done. That's tiny compared to what that just happened. If God can't do that, if God can do that, he can definitely do this. There's nothing that God can't do. And just know, no matter what, wherever you are, no matter what rough time you are in, God is always there for you. He will pick you up. God is always there. And like I said earlier, of how the world is trying to get us to turn like them, because the world hates Jesus and God and all that stands for, because they want to feel their own type of freeness, you could say. They want to feel like they're in control of their own life, which really God's in control of everything. I mean, God's plan's perfect. He'll have something for everyone. And some people just can't get it because they want to deny God. And that's going to happen. I mean, you may come up and try to witness to someone and they end up swearing at you or something like that. It happens a lot. But you know what? You got to plant the seed in them. To maybe they cross their mind again, and maybe someone else will come up and say something. Because the whole idea here is that we need to help others get into heaven. Because if you may strongly dislike someone, and someone else, you say some of the world might hate someone else. If you saw what hell was, which is very real, you wouldn't want that for anyone. No matter how bad you feel about someone. Because you got hell, and you got heaven. Both are very real. There's only two choices. It's not like there's 50 choices and you can't decide. There's only two choices. And heaven sounds a lot better than hell, if you ask me. It only takes really like no time compared to what you may have to just get on your knees before him. And all I'm saying is that no matter what you're going through, God is there for you. And he always will be. That's all I have for you tonight. Thank you all.